So we are in the middle of a three-week series to think about, reflect on what it is as United Methodist, as people who are Christians, who just happen to be United Methodist, are understanding who we are and how we are to be about this work. And most fundamentally, and this has been very true for a long time, that the mission, the stated mission, is to help people follow Jesus, and in doing so, make the world so much better. And doesn't that make sense? I mean, isn't that a beautiful thing? And it's hard, right? If this was easy to do, we would have done it a long, long time ago. But you know, it's a very complicated, beautiful, messy business of helping people learn about Jesus, come to love Jesus, learn about the brokenness of the world, and come to do something about that brokenness. And so the church, as we have kind of looked at where we are now, of course, we've been all over the place, you know, for centuries, but the United Methodist Church has been around since 1968. And, you know, where we are now in 2025, this mission has to have some focus places. And we talked about one of them last week, which was to love boldly. Not just to love, I mean, we're supposed to love, that we're called to love as God loves, but to do it, you know, with some courage, because this that we're faced with now, that life challenges us with, requires courage. And I reminded you about a really kind of wise teaching from a good United Methodist, Bevel Jones, who said, you know, maybe we need to take one step beyond caution. And we all talked about beach hair, right? Some of you were here for that. I imagined you in beach hair. I don't imagine you without clothes, but with beach hair, and, you know, it's all good, right? So this week we are moving to the second clause in that. Remember, it's we're to form disciples of Jesus Christ who, empowered by the Holy Spirit, love boldly, serve joyfully, and lead courageously in communities and around the world. And this middle section is to serve joyfully. And sometimes, you know, when we are confronted with the kinds of things that we need to do to serve, it's not easy. Being a parent or a grandparent is not easy. Right? Can I get an amen? Beautiful. Being a person who is looking after a tough job responsibility is not easy. Being a person that is caring for a person who is experiencing economic difficulties or mental illness or physical problems. Have you ever dealt with a grumpy patient? People are naming names in the room. I can hear them. Right. I'm a difficult patient, according to my wife. That's hard. It takes a commitment and a perseverance to sort of lean into it and say, I'm gonna do this. And still, people show up and do it. In fact, sometimes they show up or they end up with smiles on their faces. Not because everything's made them happy and, you know, joyful, but the very gift of it has made them joyful and sometimes happy. There is this passage that we just heard read of Jesus at the Last Supper doing a very important piece of work to care for the people that are there. He is doing not just a symbolic thing, but an actual act of getting down on his hands and knees with a basin and washing the dirt and whatever else was picked up from the disciples' feet. Generally, that is a job that is reserved for the lowest person in the house. You know what I mean? Like the kids are usually forced to do that, you know. Or if there are slaves involved, if there are house servants involved. This is not something for the master of the table to show up and do, but nevertheless, Jesus is trying to make a point, and so he throws a towel over his shoulder, he kneels, and begins to do this work of washing feet. Now, some of you have experienced this. We've talked about foot washing here in the church in the past, and a few people have kind of come to me and say, yeah, we did this in our tradition, or yeah, we did this back at this camp years ago. I've been part of these kinds of experiences. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Everyone's in here is taking a shower and knows what it is to wash feet. Do you wash between your toes? You're high end, you're pro level if you wash between your toes. Let me show you a short film just to kind of put you in the frame of mind of what we're talking about. Could you show that for us? Overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, by the way, those words that popped up on the screen during the midst of the film, those are all words from Jesus, all right? So this isn't like, well, it's propaganda for Jesus. It's the kind of stuff that Jesus was inviting the people who followed him, who were trying to live like him, to actually do. He said, look, I washed your feet. I've given you this model. Do this. And it is such an honor to be able to do that. But it's not easy. It really is challenging. A couple things I wanted to tell you about that. One is that years ago, when I was a student in seminary, I went to school in Atlanta at the Candler School of Theology at Emory University, which is not necessarily known to be the most charismatic place in the world. It's a pretty academic place. A lot of people who teach and kind of worked at school have gone to Ivy League schools. They're high-end kind of thinkers about all kinds of stuff. I'm not trying to brag. I'm just trying to set the context here. Because every year we would have in our chapel a service as we were getting ready for Easter. And at that service, there was a foot washing. I don't know if I would have been totally comfortable with that at all if I had not actually been to one of those services before in a different context. You should never double knot your shoes when you're trying to untie them publicly. It gets a little embarrassing. But there we were, students and faculty, and different people took turns at a basin. It had a little bit of bleach in it, you know, but a little bit of soap and a little bit of lots of water, warm water, and a basin was given. And we, with about 150 people, worked our way through the entire congregation. By the way, if you're looking underneath your seat for a basin or something like that, don't worry. We're not going to do that as part of our worship today, although it's a thought. Now, inside that space, I sat there and had the experience of Mary Elizabeth Moore, who is an extremely bright, beautiful person who was on faculty there. She's a United Methodist deacon, and she walked up and proceeded to work through my shoes and my socks. And we took the water, she took that water, and I was humbled. I was humbled because this person was serving me. And I knew the caliber of the person. I'd read her books, you know. And there she was, down on a knee, dealing with, you know, what's not always a pleasant place. And I realized that serving also includes having a relationship of actually being served too. That when we are caring for people, we're not just acting out of sympathy or acting out of like, oh, I'm supposed to be a nice person here. My mama told me that I needed to do the right thing in this situation. The Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts said, you know, you need to, my Sunday school teacher told me that the thing I needed to do was to look after, right? Yet, you need it too. You and I need it too. So when we are serving and when we're engaged in this service, it's a two-way street. Notice, first thing he did, before he even starts to wash feet, he starts talking to people. There are people looking at him like, oh, heck no, you're not coming near me, weirdo. What's wrong with you, you know? But then he finally has some people to come up and say, sure. And he begins with a relationship. I mean, he's not asking about what's this, you know, what's your medical conditions and what's the state of your toes, but he's forming a relationship. He's learning name. He's coming to encounter the person as a human being and not just an object of service. And so when we are called to serve, when we are given that honor and opportunity, it is not just simply, well, I'll use what's handy for me and I'll stay behind my wall. We would like for that to be the case. Except somebody's going to wind up washing your feet too. And wouldn't you rather have them know your heart rather than to treat you like something that might not even be human? So let us, as we go through this work of trying to love and to move beyond caution in that, let us also look at the neighbor and recognize that maybe I can help you. Maybe I can wash your feet. I'm called to do this. But I also know that you just might wind up doing the same for me. In fact, could you come over on Tuesday and help me with this? So I invite you to this truth and this opportunity to serve joyfully in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.